You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet everybody. Give everybody a greeting. Hello, hello. We'd like to invite you, if you're our guest, to tear out the little thing here in our publication and fill it out, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. And then next Sunday, we're having our Youth Sunday, and so the youth will be taking up the offering and praying and announcing and singing, and we'll have a great time together with them. We're looking forward to that. We'll have the praise team from our Christian school also here helping us and leading us, and so we'll have a great time together with them next week. So I want to encourage you to come and invite others to come with you, and then we want to invite you to be a part of our life groups and get to know our folks in a more intimate way, a closer way. And then we've got several things going on. Student ministry on Tuesday is Culver's, and so I want to encourage you to go by and grab some of that healthy food and take part in that with us and help our school with that. And then also our student ministry. And then we've got our widows and widowers are having their pig and cattle fellowship, and they're going to be eating a lot of ice cream and be over there. And so that's coming up, and you'll see the date there in the cell. It's Friday the 17th, this coming Friday. And then be in prayer for our VBS coming up, Illumination Station, and for God to use that in a great way. That's a great outreach for us every year. And then our ladies' garden parties coming up Saturday, May 2nd. And so tickets will be available in the lobby if you want to grab some of those on the way out. And on that note, I've had a couple of you ask about Kim this morning, and she's under the weather. So if you could pray for her, we would appreciate that. And then also this Wednesday, we've got our dinner and devotion, taco salad. That's a real winner. So I want to encourage you to come and eat with us, pray with us, and have a sweet time in God's Word together this coming Wednesday.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to just come to you this morning and tell you that we love you, Lord, and we are so thankful to be in your house to praise you, Father. And we want to ask you, please, you know, to bless these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speaking of children, I was talking to Gabe, my grandson. As you know, he's on mission in a Muslim nation and with his family. And then his dad got on the phone talking to me, and he said, Gabe last week was talking about all the religions that were in their area and all the different gods and centers of worship and all that. And he turned to Josh, my son-in-law, Gabe, and he said, Dad, we've got something no one else has got. And he said, well, what is that, son? He said, we've got the shroud. I thought that was really, really cute, you know, and evidential. And he said, that's right, son. We've got the empty burial cloth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? And so today we want to look at, and I want to be preparing you, we're going to be having a one-day soul-winning workshop in a few weeks on a Saturday. And this week, we're going to be looking at confession and forgiveness, the love of God. And then next week, we're going to be looking at the filling of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit of God takes control of our life and how you and I are to respond to that and what we're to do to prepare for that as we prepare to equip ourselves to go out and share the gospel, to be trained. And we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. So today, I'd like for us to look at how to have a fresh relationship with God. One of the greatest tools that God has given us in our relationship with Him, how to enhance our relationship, how to grow in our relationship, and how to be strengthened in our relationship with God. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 51. This is the great confession chapter of David, King David. And I'd like for us to look at a few of the verses here in this particular chapter today. Psalm 51, and the prelude to it is from the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So here we see King David's confession after his adultery and murder in setting up the husband of Bathsheba to be killed. And Nathan the prophet, being a man of God, came in, spoke truth to power, stuck his finger in King David's face and said, you are the man, and pointed him out. And so this is a response from David, the psalmist, who wrote so many of these psalms, and he was a minstrel. He played his harp and sang and worshiped God. So Psalm 51, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. So here we see in the very first verse, measurements, according to and according to. And then he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. So I'd like to ask you today, as we've just looked at that confession from David, how many of you, if you were honest before God, could say, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord? How many of you could say, I used to have the joy of the Lord, and now it seems to have eluded me or abandoned me? Well, today we're going to be looking at how to restore that joy, how God can come back in and take fresh control of your life, and how He can give you that joy. And so, first of all, it begins with our knowledge that Our relationship with God begins with His love and compassion for us. In verse 1, be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. The first thing the devil does is attack us about the love of God. One of my grandchildren recently told me that spirits have been attacking them, and one of them had said that saying to him in his heart, in his thoughts, you know, that you're not good enough, God doesn't love you. And I've said, this is a spiritual attack. This is not true. You're not loved. We love you dearly. We cherish you. You're one of our favorite people on earth. And this grandchild loves Jesus, sings hymns to Jesus, constantly is talking about the Lord. And I said, you're under attack, and this is what's going on across the world. Maybe some of you here might say, that's been going on in my life. And I've been experiencing that you're not good enough and all of this type of thing. And I said, I want you, young grandchild, I want you to be courageous. I want you to recognize that the reason you're being attacked is because you are living for Jesus, and He doesn't attack backsliders. Spirits don't work on people that aren't in the game, that aren't in the battlefield, that aren't in the war. And I just want you to know that, and that God loves you dearly, loves you more than we'll ever love you. And He is strengthening you right now. Even though you're a child, this is what I said to my grandchild, even though you're a child, God wants to use you as one of His warriors. And you need to know that in Christ, in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that Satan and Lucifer himself respects you and has a fear of you, a fear that you will recognize who lives in you and use that authority. Defend yourself. Stand against the enemy. But it's all based on the love of God. And this is the first thing that Satan attacks in our life, is that God loves us. He doesn't love you anymore. You're not a very good Christian. Whenever I hear someone get in an argument with a believer and they claim to be a believer and they say, well, you're supposed to be such a good Christian, I immediately question whether they're born again, right on the get-go. Because if that's your attitude, then you're basing it on works, you're basing it on other things besides the love of God and the grace and mercy of Christ. Can I hear an amen? And so here we see that this begins with we're measured, that God will be gracious to us, measured by, first of all, His loving kindness, that He loves us. In Isaiah 54:10, Isaiah the prophet said this, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. It won't be shaken. It won't be removed. Jeremiah 31:3, the prophet Jeremiah said, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Every time you see the word loving kindness in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word hesed. And hesed is not an emotional word like we think of love. We think of love as an emotion. People will go into divorce court and say, I'm going to have to divorce because I don't love you anymore. I've lost my love for you. They'll say that spouse to spouse. By the way, I don't know how two professing believers can go into court to get a divorce, because Scripture says we're not to take a brother or sister two courts. So how are you going to do that exactly? And so they say, you know, the love is gone. I don't feel the emotions anymore. You don't bring the butterflies into my heart anymore. Well, in actuality, this word has said, this Hebrew word, is not that kind of a word anyway. The word love here, loving kindness, is a covenant word. It's a contractual word. It's a committed word. It's a word that says, God says, I have decided to love you, and I love you no matter what. In our life group today, our passage that we studied from Isaiah talked about God leaning forth off his throne in heaven and listening to those who are griping and complaining in prison and jail, and to those who had capital punishments and were about to die, and that God responded to them. That's the kind of hesed love, God, that love of God that he has. It's a love that's not based on our performance. It's that God loves us. And this is something ever since I was 18 years old that I have rested in, that God loves me, not because Daryl Orman is any good, but because Jesus is good, because Jesus is righteous, because Jesus is the one that counts. And I trust in his righteousness. And God looks at that and says, I'm committed to love you. I love you. And so it's based on that. It's also measured by according to the greatness of his compassion. And he blots out all of our transgressions. Our relationship with God continues with his merciful forgiveness of our sins. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Beloved, we don't recognize it enough that the day we gave our life to Christ, the day we repented and said, not me, Lord, I'm not good enough, I'm not righteous enough, it's not my self-righteousness, it's your righteousness. The day we repented, that day when Jesus Christ came into our life, that day all of our sins were blotted out. That day all of our sins were forgiven. That day, Jesus said, I'm going to take them away. And we're going to look at four verses that talk about how much taking away he does. When he blots out our sins, when he removes our sins, when he takes our sins from us and removes them from our life. And so we see in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, it's interesting in that in chapel this week, I was talking to our kids about the flat earth and the round earth, and the flat earth scientists of the ancients that thought the earth was flat. And by the way, we got a colloquialism from that the four corners of the earth, people will say that. Well, that comes from a flat earth theory. There's not corners of the earth. It's round. And of course, what a better time to recognize that than our astronauts coming back from space and circling the round moon to come back to the round earth. And in Scripture, it says in Isaiah, the Lord sits upon the circle of the earth. And that was written 3,500 years ago. The Lord sits upon the circle of the earth. And so here we see in this passage that he says, I will put your sins as far away as the east is from the west. Now, in that's a linear idea. It's a linear proposal. And the idea is this, the east and the west in math go on to infinity. If you take two lines and then on each line you put an arrow and an arrow, east and west. You can do the same thing north and south. It's saying that I'm going to take your sins and put them into infinity. I'm going to put them as far away from you where they'll never return. We live in an ever-expanding universe, and this universe was not created millions or billions of years ago. It was created several thousand years ago. And when God spoke it into existence, there was a big bang, and then the universe started spreading out, and it's been spreading out ever since. It's an ever-expanding universe. When I was interviewing AI, I asked AI, is the universe infinite? And it said yes, and that's not true. That's one of the first things I've caught it in. It's expanding. There's an edge of it. Now, it's going light speed, but there's an edge of it, and that edge is out there, and that's the end of it. But past that is void, and then it's expanding further. Our sins are placed that far away from us. The east is from the west. And God says, I'm going to remove those sins from you. Then we also see that in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Not only does God say that our sins are separated us east from the west, but he says, I've got divine amnesia. I'm not going to remember your sins any longer. I have forgotten them. So, you know, we confess sins, and he does want us to do that for our sake, not his. But when we confess them, he might be sitting on the throne saying, what sins? I don't remember those. I have forgotten those. I've chosen to forget those. And God says that he has forgotten our sins. They're in his divine amnesia. And then in Micah, the prophet Micah says in chapter 7, verse 19, he says, he will again have compassion on us and will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And he says, I'll sink them in the sea of my forgetfulness. So east to the west, in his forgiveness and his amnesia, and then sunk into the deepest parts of the ocean. You know that the deepest trenches of the ocean are the deepest places. There's the most distance there on Earth. There are mountain ranges that are two times higher than they are Mount Everest on the top of the Earth. And God says, I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to submerge them into the deepest trenches of the ocean. I'm going to put them away. East is the west. I've forgotten them, and I'm sinking them. I'm putting them into the deepest depths of the ocean. And then in Colossians chapter 3, 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul says this, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So we see his merciful forgiveness of our sins. And then next, our relationship with God is refreshed by the acknowledgement and confession of our sins. We see this in verses 3 through 6. In Psalm 51, for I know, David said, I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Here we see the idea that you and I are to acknowledge our sins. We all have a tendency to make excuses. Even in revival times, renewal times, Bible conference times, when we've had speakers speak on repentance and confession, and we've heard public confessions, oftentimes we'll hear people actually make excuses. They'll stand up and say, well, you know, I've been coveting my neighbor's car, but it is a lot nicer than mine. You know, and then they'll say, and of course, we've all wanted a better car. Well, what kind of a confession is that? You know, that is a rationalization and an excuse. And God says he wants us to acknowledge our sins. Against thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. All of our sins are ultimately against God. Now, we do sin against each other, but ultimately, all our sins are against God, and he wants us to acknowledge them. And in this, there's a few phrases I put here. We see our sins. He said, they're ever before me. They're in front of me. I see them. I know them. I'm aware of them. Years ago, when I was an electrician working for my dad, we had a great big electrician named Gene Gullett. And Gene used to wear these glasses that looked like the bottoms of Coke bottles, made his eyes that big around. He's a great big guy, chewed tobacco, spit all over the job. One time my dad walked through the door when he's in a scaffold, and Gene spit right in the top of his head, you know. He comes down, Mr. Orman, I'm sorry. You know, he's trying to wipe his hair, and it was bad. Well, I gave my life to Christ, and then I'm working with Gene. I'd been working him before I was a Christian, and then after I gave my life to Christ. And Gene used to infuriate me. He would do things. I have my electrical license, and I had it then. And he would come down off a ladder because I was a teenager. I was 18 years old. And I'd be wiring a receptacle, and he'd come down off the ladder and said, move out of the way, boy. And he'd do the receptacle, or I'd be putting a light switch in, and he'd take the work out. And it infuriated me, made me mad. And at one point, this was before I was a Christian, I skinned off two long wires, and he was on a six-foot ladder straddling the top of it, and I went over and I plugged him in the receptacle, and I stuck him on his leg, and he jumped over the top of the ladder and hit the ground. He fired me, but he couldn't fire me because I worked for my dad. And so, I mean, he and I had a history. But after I got saved, you know, I was upset, you know, still kind of aggravated with some of these things he'd do. And so one time I walked over to him, he's on the ladder working, putting in a light fixture. And I look up at him and I said, Gene, you know, I've given my life to Christ. And I've just been upset about you taking work out of my hands and that sort of thing. But I just want to say that that's not godly. That's not Christ-like. So I want to ask you, would you forgive me for having a hardness in my heart about that? He's chewing that tobacco, you know, he looks down at me. He spits right over near me, and he says, I'll think about it. And then I just got angry again. God wants us to confess our sins, and I confessed them again. I went back to him, finally really got things right, finally got to lead Gene to the Lord. And that was exciting. But God desires for us to acknowledge our sins and see our sins and recognize they're before us. And then in this passage, not only are we to see our sins, but we're also to see our sins as against God. Ultimately, I realize that All of my sins are against God Almighty. And by the way, God sees everything we're doing. I guess now God and Google, but God does. God sees everything we're doing. He knows it. He knows it intimately. I'm Laha Roy, he says. I'm the God who sees. He's leaning there off the throne. He's looking with omniscient vision and knowledge over all of humanity. And he knows every one of us intimately. And he sees our sins are ultimately against him. That's why Christ had to die for them. Then we see that our sin nature is from birth. We're born with a sin nature. Theoretically, theologically, you could live a perfect life without sinning one single time, but you'd go to hell because you have a sin nature. It's not the fruit, it's the root that's the problem. Our sin nature. And we're all born spiritually dead because of that sin nature. And this is what he talks about here. David acknowledges that when he talks about his very birth. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, it didn't mean he was illegitimate. It meant that he came with the sin nature. And we all have that, and we're all born with that. So how are we to deal with that? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, we see an interesting aspect of this acknowledgement and confession. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we say we do not have sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if you're sitting there saying, I don't know what this has to do with me, I don't have any sin, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll say it again if you want to come up to me after the service, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. We all wrestle with sin. We all struggle with sin. We all have that. We all have that nature. And now Jesus has given us a new nature with the rebirth, if you have it. If you have it. But you don't stand a ghost of a chance getting to heaven if you don't. So we need to first of all repent. That means metanoia is the Greek word, change our mind about ourselves. We need to acknowledge our sinful need before God. When I've read the diaries and the biographies of some of the great Christians, it's interesting how many of them in their prayer life said, when I get before God, I am totally unclean. Now, these are people that gave up everything in their life to be missionaries and pastors, to face opposition and persecution. And yet they say, when I get before God, I become unclean because I see myself the way God sees me without Christ. We need to repent, and then we need to trust and exhibit faith. We need to trust. Faith is what saves us. The just shall live by faith, or the just shall be justified by faith, by trust. That we're trusting in what God has done. And we acknowledge that and accept it. And then we move from repentance to trust to confession. And in Scripture, he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. A confession with our mouth, and then an acceptance. We need to accept him into our life. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Do you want the right to be God's child? Do you want the right to be adopted by God? then you have to accept. Then we see next in our passage that our relationship with God is based upon God cleansing our life. Verse 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then also the end of verse 2, and cleanse me from my sin. Cleansing. One of my favorite illustrations in my whole life of confession and cleansing and forgiveness is years ago when I was a youth pastor in Memphis and going to seminary. We were living on Marston, a street in Memphis, and at the time we only had Shay, only had our daughter. We didn't have Josh yet. And I would get up in the morning and early, and work was sporadic back then in the early 80s. Electric work and construction in Memphis, there was kind of some national issues with all of that, economic issues. So Dad was looking for jobs, and when he'd get a job, he'd call me in the morning and say, Daryl, you got to get up, get going. I've got a job, and he'd give me the address. So I got a call one morning, and I'd go to work. I'd do electric work, and then when I had to go to class for seminary, I'd leave the job and go to class. And so I get up, and it's early in the morning. It's like around 6:30 or so in the morning, and I'm walking down the hallway, blue jeans, T-shirt, work boots on. I walk by our daughter Shay's bedroom where her crib was. She was a year and a half old. And when I walked by it, I heard the sweetest words I've ever heard in my life. Dada, come hug me. I thought, oh, good, I'm going to get some loving right before I go to work. And so when I step into the door of her room there, the smell almost knocked me on the floor. And I turned the light on, and Shay had, I guess, been sick during the night, and she had thrown up several times. There was vomit all over the crib. She had mats of vomit stuck on her face. There was clumps of vomit in her hair. And the smell, oh. And when I walked in, I wanted so much to go over and hug her, but I just couldn't. I couldn't force myself to, and I did what any self-respecting dad would do. Kim, get in here. Shay needs you. And I said, I love you, honey. I'll see you when I get back home this afternoon, and I went to work. I never loved her any more than I loved her then, but I wasn't kissing a big hunk of vomit. I'm sorry. Now, God is that way in heaven. God is looking down at us, our Heavenly Father, and He sees us, and He says, I want to embrace you. I want to fill you with my Spirit. I want joy abundant, rivers of living water flowing out of you. I want all these things for you, but you're covered in vomit. You're covered in filth. You're accommodating sin in your life. You've got terrible, carnal, wicked, angry, bad attitudes. You're looking at pornography. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're hating other people. You're gossiping. You're criticizing everything. You're not grateful for anything. And he says, you're just covered with vomit. And I want to hug you. I want to come close to you. I want to give you, return you to your joy. But you're angry. You're bitter. You're lustful. I can't do it. You got to confess your sins. You got to get right with me. You've got to acknowledge me. You've got to be cleansed. You must be cleansed with hyssop. And we know the story of the hyssop. It's part of the Passover. They were to take the hyssop and dip it in the bowl of the lamb's blood, the sacrificial lamb, their blood. And they were to take that hyssop and that blood, and they were to go to their doorpost and hit the top and the bottom and the sides. What kind of a sign were they making when they did that? The sign of the cross. We've got to be covered in the blood of Christ. Last week when we were looking at the shroud and some of the blood studies, I watched a video from two hematologists that were given samples of the blood. And they said they centrifuged the blood from the shroud, that AB blood, they centrifuged it in saline water, the human body temperature, for 72 hours. They made a culture, they took it out, and they said the white blood cells started growing again. That's 2,000-year-old blood. That can't happen. That shouldn't happen. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for us, that supernatural blood of the God-man. We sing all those songs. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. We see this in relationship to our relationship with God is based upon God cleansing our life. There's an interesting story with the disciples in John chapter 13. And here we see in this story that it's Peter and the disciples there with Jesus just before the feast of the Passover. And we see that Jesus goes around, he washes the disciples' feet, he pours a basin of water, he goes around. And so when he comes to Simon Peter, he said to him, Simon said to Jesus, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Of course, Simon Peter, being who he was, he said, okay, Lord, not just my feet, but my whole body. Give me a bath. I mean, he just immediately flipped and shifted over. And he said, do my hands and my feet, not my in my head, not my feet only. Jesus said, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. And he was speaking of Judas. We need to be cleansed. We need for God to cleanse us. We need to as a fellowship. If you want to walk in here and tear up immediately because you sense the atmospheric presence of Christ, then I want to ask every one of us to deal with our personal sins, to acknowledge them, to trust God, to know that he loves us, to know that he wants to blot them out, to confess our sins, to repent, and to allow him to cleanse us and take fresh control of us. And then we see if we do this, he says that we'll have a great blessing from it. In verse 8 and 10 through 12, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Beloved, we need to ask God to do this in our lives, to restore the joy, the excitement, where when you're coming to church, I don't know how you're all coming to church. I hope y'all aren't arguing on the way, fighting. You know, why are you making us late, woman? Why'd you have to put all that makeup on? Whatever y'all are doing. You know, we need to recognize that God wants us to prepare our hearts before we come. He wants us to come to worship, to adore him, to praise him. We're not here to pick everybody apart. We're not here to critique anything. We're here to worship God, to love Him and worship Him. And we need to prepare our hearts. We need a true spirit of repentance and confession for God to be freed in our midst. Can I hear an amen? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you that we do love you and ask you, please, Almighty God, I ask you, please move on us, all of us. And Lord, illuminate our hearts and minds. Show each and every one of us our sins. Show us the things that offend you. And we pray, dear God, that you would supernaturally intervene, that you would cleanse us of our carnality, cleanse us of our worldliness, cleanse us of our sensuality. We ask you, please, Almighty God, in a supernatural way, to speak to our hearts. For him to do that, you have to first be sure of your relationship with him. You've got to be sure that Jesus lives in your life. And I'd like to invite you right now just to ask him for his forgiveness, to ask him for that relationship by just saying, oh God, I know that I've sinned. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Please allow your spirit to live in me and take control of me. And Lord, I love you. Thank you for sacrificing yourself for me in Jesus' name. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like to ask you to pray this prayer, a prayer of seeking repentance and confession, and just say, oh Lord, this week, show me my sins. This week, bring me to repentance. This week, help me to confess my sins to you and forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind our ladies about the tickets in the lobby for the luncheon. And any of you guys or strong ladies, if you'd like to help us out at the farm, weather permitting, this coming Friday, we'd love to have you come and assist us with our work out there. God bless you. You're dismissed.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Jesus loves me.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God. Children of God.
Thy word is a lamp. Tune in to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson, airing daily Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and p.m., and also heard each Saturday at 12 noon.